verse. He restoreth my soul. We talked about that this morning. And then the last part says, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Twice in this passage, or twice in the psalm, the psalm writer, David, said, he leadeth me. He wrote that in verse 2, latter part of that. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And here we see he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So good to know that we have this leader, and that leader is the Lord. The leader is God. We believe our shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ. He says he was or is our shepherd in John chapter 10. And we know that is true. And so tonight we're going to talk about how he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll get right into this. Father, we do thank you and praise you, Lord, for your goodness and mercy. Thank you, Lord, for the songs. Thank you, Lord, for the goodness that you've given to us today. We are so grateful and honored, Lord, to be in church tonight. This is your house. This is your place. Lord, you've done so much for us, and you've done so much for each and every one of us, Lord. Thank you for saving our souls. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a home in heaven. We pray that you bless this message tonight. Use it for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want to look at a couple verses. Go back to chapter 5 or the 5th Psalm, and verse 8, Psalm 5, verse 8. While you're turning there, I do want to thank those of you that stayed around here today and helped set up and do all this work. There was a lot of work that had to be done this afternoon. We didn't get done until around, I think, 4 or so, 3:30, 4 o'clock. So we thank you for those that stayed. We fed you well, and you were a great help. Appreciate it very much. Psalm chapter 5 and fifth Psalm, verse 8, lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness, because of mine enemies, make thy way straight before my face. We as Christians should always be asking God to lead us. Too many Christians trying to lead themselves. Too many Christians trying to do their own thing, go their own direction, trying to go their own paths, and too many Christians are not asking God for his leadership. We as Christians need to ask God to lead us. As the psalm, as we see in Psalm 23 and verse 3, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We all know what righteousness means. It's simply living right, living a right life, not doing wrong, not living a life of sin, but living a life of righteousness. The 23rd psalm is a psalm, as we have been talking about, that was written by a shepherd, but he was actually writing the psalm as a sheep, not just a shepherd, but as a sheep. And David, of course, understood how sheep reacted because he tended to his own, or his father's anyway. He understood the responsibility of a shepherd because he was. Many times the youngest of the family, they were the ones that tended to the sheep. And David, being the youngest in his family, was the shepherd in the family that he had. And so he was responsible for taking care of the sheep that his father had. Sheep are notorious creatures of habit. They just are. And we are so much like sheep. We are creatures of habit ourselves. Boy, once we get used to doing something, we don't want to change. You know the old saying, you know, you can't what's that saying about the old? You can't teach an old dog new tricks. But with the Lord, you can. Doesn't matter how old you are, Jim. You can learn some new tricks. You can learn some new things. You don't need to be just so engrossed in your own little habit there, Jim. You can come out of that and you can learn some other things. You just need to be willing to do that. Your choice, but sheep are those creatures of habit, and if they're left to themselves, they'll follow the same trail every time, to the point where they'll ruin the trail. It'll become a gully, they say, over a period of time. They get into a rut. As a Christian, you ever been in a rut? You ever getting in a rut? Sure you have. Sometimes we do those things as ourselves in our own life. We have our habits, and those habits can sometimes not be very nice. They graze the same hills until they turn to desert wastelands. They don't know enough to stop. They just continue on. They'll even pollute their own ground to the point where it's corrupt with disease and parasites. That's what sheep do. There's no other class of livestock that requires more careful handling and such attention than a sheep or a flock of sheep. They need constant attention. The most important job of a shepherd is to see that the land is not become overused to the point where the sheep have no more grazing, there's no more grass to glean from or eat from. They'll get to that point. They'll pull the grass up by the roots where it'll take probably an act of God or a miracle over time to even repair the land. That's why a shepherd, about every week or so, he is leading his flock into a whole new pasture land. A shepherd has to have that planned out very carefully. You just don't, you know, grab a whole bunch of sheep and say, all right, let's go, and then not tend to them, because some shepherds will do that. They're more like hirelings than they are shepherds. You just can't let them go by themselves because they'll ruin the land. They'll ruin the pasture land. Since if it's ruined, obviously, what are they going to eat? How are they going to survive? And they won't. And so the shepherd's job is to watch the land extremely careful. And if he sees that the land is getting to the point of overuse, the shepherd immediately will move the flock. He's got it all planned out. He's got a pasture over here. He's got one over here. He'll let them graze here. But when that land is done, he's got to move them on to another land. They say that when a sheep gets to the point where the land has been overused or pretty much gone of grass, when they see the new pasture and the shepherd leads them to the gate, and when he opens up the gate to allow the sheep to go in, they get excited because they see all that nice new grass. They say the sheep will actually kind of jump a little bit to the point where they're so excited and happy. Just like you when we take you to a buffet. You get all excited and happy. Whoa, look at this wonderful food. Or we have a meal downstairs or a nice picnic to go to. We get all excited about it. Well, sheep are the same way. Again, we're so much like the sheep. But sometimes sheep don't want to move. They've got their habits. They've got their place. This is where I am. This is where I'm staying. And you're not telling me to do nothing. I double dare you, shepherd, to tell me that I've got to go over there and eat. I like it here, even though there's nothing left practically. But that's the way sheep are. And sometimes we Christians are the same way. I dare you, preacher, to have me do anything for you. I dare you, preacher, to teach me something that I don't already know. I dare you, preacher. I dare you, whatever, teacher, Sunday school teacher or evangelist that comes in or whoever, a missionary. There's always something we can learn new from the Word of God. Always. Don't ever think that you've arrived to the point where you can't be taught anything new. With an attitude that I can't be taught anything new, you won't be taught anything new. But you have to have the attitude that you are still learning. I'm still learning. And so are you, hopefully. But again, we're so much like the sheep. We don't want to move. We don't want to change. We don't want to do anything that's out of our little comfort zone. You know, we get into our comfort zone and that's where we want to stay, right? We like it here. We like it in our comfort zone. Even as we heard, what's the name? Bernard and, was it Marianne? Bernard and Marianne? Bernard feels that he's been called to Alaska. Now, it would take an act of God to call me to Alaska. I mean, I shouldn't say that because all of a sudden probably the Lord will call me to Alaska. But it would take God to do that. It would take an act of God to call me to New York City or some of these other places. But how many times are people called to places they maybe don't really want to go, but at least Bernard is listening to God. Now, we got to pray for Mary Ann this week because she doesn't want to go. She's going to send her husband off, and she's going to stay back and just pray for her husband. Well, that's not the way it works. We'll have to make sure that Mary Ann understands that through the week. That's not the way it works. When God calls the man, the wife is supposed to go too, right? Amen. I mean, that's the way it is. Now, hopefully God would call both the husband and the wife about the same time, because God doesn't want division in a marriage. God wants the marriage to flourish, and God wants both of them to be called to do something. But you know it's much easier for you just to stay home and not do what God wants you to do. You know that. You know that's much easier to do that. Again, we are creatures of habit, just like sheep. We don't want to change. We don't, I am staying here. This is where I am. This is where I'm comfortable. This is my soft spot. And before you know it, you'll become a cast sheep. You'll be laying on your back with your little feet, you know, up in the air and not being able to go anywhere. That's what a cast sheep is. There is something about the destructive self-determination nature of a human being. If left to ourselves, we will destroy ourselves. If left to ourselves. If God doesn't intervene, we're very capable of just completely destroying ourselves. I mean, with all kinds of things. We get into habits like smoking. That just destroys your lungs and it destroys your body. Drinking, drugs, it just destroys you. That's what it does. Overheating. Don't want to touch on that too much. But, we can just completely destroy ourselves if left to ourselves. And that's the way the sheep are. They're the same way. Sometimes we blindly and habitually and stupidly follow one another down a destructive path, just like the sheep would do. You know, sheep, what they'll do, they'll just follow the lead sheep. If the lead sheep is going that way, they all just follow right along. They don't even ask questions. They don't say, hey, why are we doing this? They just follow the leader. That's what they do. Now, unless the sheep are being led properly, they can be led in a wrong way. Hopefully, the shepherd is leading the sheep in the right way. The old-time shepherds, and I don't know about these newer shepherds nowadays, but from what I've read and studied on this, the old-time shepherds could just get up and start walking, and the sheep will follow. They will completely follow the shepherd, the leader. He can call them by name, and they know his voice, and they'll just start following. That's the picture that we get in the Word of God. Jesus being our leader, Jesus being our shepherd. When he says, come on, let's go, it's time to move, or it's time to do something for me, then we ought to want to do that. We should want to serve our shepherd. We should want to serve our leader. We should want to follow God when he says, let's go. So many times we Christians, we say, all right, Lord, you go. And I'll catch up maybe if I want to. No, that's not the way it should be. Again, left to ourselves. Look at Proverbs chapter 14. Left to ourselves, it's just a destructive path. We see that throughout Scripture. We see that throughout the Bible, that man thinks he has the right way or knows the right way. Look at Proverbs 14:12. There's two verses in the book of Proverbs that I know of, Proverbs 14 and Proverbs 16, that say almost the same thing, except for there's a change in one word. Proverbs 14:12, it says this, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Man thinks he knows what he's doing. Man thinks he's on maybe the right way. Look at 16 in verse 25. 16:25. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so we think we're doing the right thing sometimes, but many times we're not. We think we're following in the right direction, but sometimes we're not. And so we need to ask, well, who's our leader, first of all? Who's the shepherd? Who's the one that is leading me? Do I know specifically that it's God? Well, if you're in this book, you'll know that Jesus is leading you. You got to be in the book. This is where we get the instructions for our life. It's through the Word of God. And so the Lord can lead us properly as long as we're listening to our shepherd and wanting to follow him. John chapter 10 and verse 10, of course, the great Lord being our great shepherd in John chapter 10, we see so many things in this chapter that really sheds light on our great shepherd, Christ. In John chapter 10, let me just read some of these verses. Starting in verse 7, Jesus said unto them, then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. Our shepherd wants to make sure that our life is an abundant life. Our shepherd wants to make sure that he is leading us to the proper pastures, to the places where we can get fed and we can get taken care of. Our shepherd always is trying to lead us in a way of life, not death. Our shepherd is always taking care of us and making sure that we're protected. Always. He wants to see that we are protected. He is constantly trying to fight off, not trying, but he does, fight off our enemy. That's the shepherd's job. And that's what Jesus Christ does for us. Look at Matthew chapter 7. Look at verses 13 and 14. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Again, if left to ourselves, we'll just follow down blindly, or as I said a minute ago, stupidly. I know some of you don't like that word, but that's the way it is with sometimes us human beings. We just want to follow and we just want to do what everybody else is doing. Well, what everybody else is doing could bring destruction to you. Matthew chapter 7. Verses 13 and 14, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Why do you think that's true? It's because sometimes we want to just follow somebody else. We want to follow another human being. Even though it's a destructive path, we still have a tendency to follow that individual. We like to do what everybody else is doing. Well, everybody else is doing it. Why can't I do it? My friends are all going there. Why can't I go there? My friends are doing this. Why can't I do that? Right? I mean, that's what we hear that from our kids a lot. But then as we get older, we do the same thing as adults. Sometimes we straighten up and smarten up. Sometimes we don't. It says in verse 14, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. There are a few that are going in the right way. But the broad way that leads to destruction, many there be which go in thereat. Again, we are creatures of habit. Every one of us in this room, we're creatures of habit. And we like to do what we want to do. We like to go where we want to go. I've said this before. You want to go somewhere, you're going to go. You want to buy something, you're going to buy it. You will find a way to buy whatever it is that you want to buy. You'll find the money. You'll do whatever it is that you want to do. If you want to do it bad enough, you'll do it. That's just the way we are. Sometimes, you know, we pastors, we see people that fail to come to church, but boy, they can go to the store. They can go here. They can go there. They can do all of these other things. But coming to church, I don't want. Well, that's because you don't really want to. If you really want to, you'll be there. You'll be in church, right? If you really want to give to the Lord, you're going to give to the Lord. We have money to do all kinds of other things, but, you know, when it comes to giving to the Lord, I can't do that. I can't afford to tithe. I can't afford to give the missions. But there's other things that we can certainly find that we can afford to do. And so there's that way. There's that straight and narrow gate, or there's that wide gate that leads, or the broad road that leads to destruction. And so you choose which one you want to be on. You want to follow the Lord, you're going to go through the narrow way. You're going to be on the straight and narrow. And we do believe that God, obviously, from this passage of Scripture, God is a narrow-minded God. There's only one way to go to heaven. There is not many ways to go to heaven. You can't go the Buddha way and the Hindu way and the Jehovah's Witness way and the Mormon way and all these other ways. Those ways do not lead to heaven. Only through Jesus Christ is led to heaven. People are led to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so there's this tendency for us to go in a wrong way. I've been saved a long time, and many of you in here, we've all been saved a long time. And you know that even as a Christian, sometimes we have a tendency to go in a wrong direction. Make a wrong decision here or make a wrong decision there. Sometimes we find ourselves not doing the right thing or not living a righteous life. We find ourselves given into temptation. We find ourselves given into sin because that's what we want to do. And we do what we want to do many times in our life. Let me give you seven attitudes that will help us when we follow the Lord. I'll go through them quick. You say, seven? Oh, no, I'll never get my ice cream tonight. You'll get your ice cream tonight. Just seven attitudes that will help us when it comes to following. Remember, it says over there in Psalm 23 in verse 3, we'll go back there real quick. It says, He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He leadeth me. In order for Him to lead, we must be willing to follow. We've got to follow. If you're not following, then His leading is going to do you no good. But He wants to lead us. Again, it says the sheep, David now, is writing as a sheep, and he is recognizing the importance of leadership. Jesus Christ is the ultimate shepherd. He's the greatest leader that the universe has ever seen. He's our great leader. Are we willing to follow Him? That's the question. Or are you willing to only follow what you want to do? Follow your whims and your ways and your whatever it is that you want to do. You're going to do what you want to do. Many Christians need to get their want to's changed. Because we want to do certain things. Maybe they're not right. Maybe they're not the right things to do. So, in other words, instead of God changing your direction, maybe you need to change your want to's. You need to change the direction that you're going to. You have to be willing to follow the Lord. And whatever He wants us to do or wherever He wants us to go, we need to be willing to do that. So let me give you these seven things quick. Hopefully these will help a little bit with this attitude of following. Number one, instead of loving myself most, I'm willing to love Christ most and others more than me. That is not a philosophy that the world pushes. The world pushes you got to love you. You got to take care of you first. You've got to improve your self-esteem. You've got to be the most important person in the world. That's not what the Bible teaches. Philosophy teaches that. Philosophy teaches the other, but the Bible doesn't teach that at all. Matthew, we've been going through this on Wednesday nights, Matthew chapter 12. Just give you some quick verses on each of these. Matthew chapter 12. I'm sorry, Mark chapter 12. Mark 12, not Matthew 12. Mark 12. Mark chapter 12 and verse 29. So number one, if you're going to write these down, instead of loving myself most, I am willing to love Christ most and others more than me. That's attitude number one. Mark 12, verse 29, and Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. In other words, we are to love God with all, everything, right? He wants all. We sing a song entitled, I Surrender All. But sometimes we Christians like to sing, I Surrender Some. No, it's I Surrender All. Verse 31, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And so, if we're going to follow the Lord, we've got to love Him. You follow who you love. You follow what you love. If you love football, you're going to follow football. Right, guys? You're going to follow that. You're going to know the players. You're going to know your team. You're going to know all of the stats. When what you love, you end up following. If you love hunting, you're going to follow hunting. If you love dirt bikes, Paul, you're going to follow dirt bikes. You're going to go off to dirt bike racing. Jim, if you love racing, you're going to go off to these races, which you do. I mean, we end up doing what we really enjoy. And there's nothing wrong with that. Right? I mean, we can enjoy life. I really believe that God wants us to enjoy life. But what you love, that's what you end up following and doing. We have to be careful that we don't take it to the extreme, that we end up failing God in the same thing that we're doing. we're to love God with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength. That's what God wants. He wants us to love Him first, and then we are to love others more than we even love ourselves. It's not that you're not going to take care of yourself and feed yourself and all of that. You will do that. You naturally do that. But God wants us to follow Him. So if we're going to follow Him, we have to love Him. Or we're not going to follow Him. It's very obvious with some Christians that of what they love and who they love. Because they're not following the Lord. They're following their own whims and their own ways and their own ideas. And they're off doing things on Sundays that they should be in God's house on Sundays. They're off doing things at other times of the week. And they pay no attention to what the Lord wants. And so we need to be careful about that. But that is an attitude that we need. We need to have the attitude, instead of loving myself so much, I'm going to love God first and I'm going to love my neighbor second. That's the first attitude that we have. The second attitude is this, and this is important. Instead of being one of the crowd, I am willing to be singled out, set apart from the world. Instead of being one of the crowd. Sometimes people really love being part of the crowd. It's like, hey, they're doing it, I'm going to go off and do it too. Look at Proverbs 1. It's interesting that Solomon starts right off in the very first proverb dealing with this particular subject. In Proverbs chapter 1, starting around verse 10, this is what Solomon writes. Proverbs 1 in verse 10. Again, the Bible warns us against these particular things and this attitude. He says, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." Now look, some of us are old fogies in this room, and I'll throw myself into that. I'm not going to pick on Jim because I'm 10 years his younger, and so I'm up there too. I know in the past, when I was going to school even, and even other times in my life when I worked at Crucible, I was tempted to do some things that I probably shouldn't have done. Not probably, I was tempted to do some things that I should not have done. And many times I followed a crowd. I followed somebody else. Somebody else. And I can't claim that they made me do that. I chose to do that. But it was the, you know, I'm going back in the 70s. It was the hip thing to do, I guess. You know, it was to follow the crowd. Guys are going off doing this. Yeah, I'll go off and do that too. Even in school, there was that sense of wanted to be wanted in school. We wanted to be popular. We wanted to be somebody. And so we would tend to go off and follow the crowd. But Solomon warns about this. Then he says in verse 11, "If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole, as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil." Boy, it's going to be great. Come on with us. We're going to have all kinds of money and all kinds of things. We're just going to fill our houses with all kinds of stuff. "Cast in thy lot among us and let us all have one purse." Verse 15, "My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood." Now, there is a crowd that we have to be extremely careful of following. There's a crowd that is going in the right direction. That's the crowd that we need to follow. There's that broad road that leads to destruction. You know why there are so many people on that? Because they're following. They're following a leader. They're following somebody else. And so they're on that broad road. And that broad road only leads to destruction. Well, they're doing it. I'm going to go off and do that too. There's the other crowd. It's really not a crowd. It's the small or the narrow or the few that are going in the right direction. Those are the ones you need to follow. You need to pick out somebody in your life that's more righteous and more godly than you. Pick out somebody that is a great, outstanding Christian and follow him or her. Well, we need to follow the Lord. I know that. I understand that. But fine. Paul said, "Follow me as I follow the Lord Jesus Christ." Paul said, hey, you can follow me because he knew that he was following the Lord. So find somebody, again, the best place to find somebody like this is in church. Right? I mean, this is where you find, hopefully this is where we find some godly people. Hopefully there's some people in our congregation that are following the Lord. We'll get a hold of one of them and follow them. Make sure that they're doing what's right. Have some accountability with somebody. Say, hey, maybe you're struggling in a certain area. There might be something that's going on and you're just in your own life and you want to make sure that you have an accountability partner in that. And you can get a hold of somebody. You can call up one of the men if you're a guy and you can say, hey, look, I want you to be there when I need some help. Maybe there's a lady here that same thing. Contact the lady. Guys, do not contact ladies in the church. Ladies, do not contact guys in the church. Amen. Make sure that you stay with, you know, guys helping guys and ladies helping ladies. That's just some good advice. But Solomon gave that advice that, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If somebody says, hey, come on, let's go do this. We preach that to young people all the time, don't we? Don't you parents try to preach that to your kids? Right? Don't follow the crowd. Don't go there. Don't go do that. And yet sometimes we adults do the same thing. We need to be careful about that. And so again, attitude number two, instead of being one of the crowd, am I willing to be singled out and set apart from the world for God? That, I believe, is important. Number three, instead of my rights, I'm willing to forego my rights for others. Now, again, these are not easy things to do. It's easy for me to get up and preach this because I've written it down here on a piece of paper. I can give these things to you. It's a whole nother thing to try to live these particular things. But again, thirdly, instead of my rights, I am willing to forego them for others. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2. Remember, we're dealing with the subject, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We can put these seven things, really, these attitudes in our life, we're going to be better Christians for it. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Now again, this goes against the grain of the world, these verses that I'm going to read to you. And if you have a Bible, look at them. These go completely against what is being taught to our young people today, college students, young adults, and even us older adults. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Did it really say that? Let each esteem other better than themselves? Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. In other words, I wrote this in the margin of my Bible. Everybody is more important than me. Everybody is more important than me. I'm not the most important person in the world, but so often we think we're the most important person in the world. It's my way or the highway. And yet everybody else is to be more important than myself. Instead of my rights, I'm willing to forego my rights for others. We need to be willing to do that. That's an attitude that may not be easy to achieve, but we need to strive for that. With the Lord's help, we can do all of these things. Number four, we'll go to Mark chapter 12 again. We saw that a little while ago. We'll go back to Mark 12. But number four, instead of me being boss, I'm willing to be at the bottom of the heap. I'm willing to be the last sheep. I'm willing to be the least sheep. Instead of being the boss, I'm willing to be at the bottom of the heap. There are some personalities that they have to be in charge. They got to rule. They got to reign. They're in charge and nobody else matters. Well, that's not the way that we Christians should strive to be. Now, when you come to certain things that we have going on in a church, in a business, okay, in a business you have a boss, you have somebody that you have to be accountable to, you have to answer to. Even in a church like this, God has put me in charge of this church. But I don't want to come across as it's my way or the highway. I've never tried to come across that way. and I hope I've achieved that I have not done that. But here in Mark chapter 12, look at verses 38 and following. Mark chapter 12, verse 38. And he said unto them in his doctrine, "Beware the scribes, which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplaces. And the chief seats in the synagogues, and the uppermost rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers, these shall receive greater damnation." This is a warning from the Lord that you don't need to be number one. You don't need to be the chief. You don't need to be sitting in these places. You don't need to be walking around in the marketplace thinking that you are, you know, the most important person out there. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, "Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living." And so there's the warning here that Jesus gives in verses 38, 39, and 40 about having to be the most important person in whatever it is that you're doing. And there are some people that are very much like that. But we need, instead of being the boss, we should strive to be just the person that's at the last of the line. Sometimes you can see that at church dinners. Sometimes we see it with kids, and we try to teach the kids, you don't have to be first in line. You don't have to be number one. But there are some people like that. Boy, you say amen, and they're... during prayer, they're walking towards the dishes, you know, slowly walking. You say amen, and there they are. They got their hand on the plate, and boy, they are ready to fill that plate up. They're so afraid they're not going to get any more food or something. I don't know what it is. They have to be first through the line to get all of the hottest and the tastiest food. Some of us, we just wait till everybody else has gotten something to eat. And then if there's anything left over, we'll go through the line. You don't have to be first all the time. You don't have to be first through everything. Are you willing to just stand back and let other people go first? Are you willing to let other people even get the glory in things? We don't have to have an attaboy or a pat on the back all the time, right? I believe that we should try to recognize people that do things, and I think that's important. That we should try to do that. But there are so many people that are just, they just want to be the chief sheep. They want to be the guy or the gal in charge. We just have to be humble that we're not striving to do it. All right, number five, let me hurry up so we can get to the ice cream. Number five, instead of finding fault with life and always asking why, I am willing to accept every circumstance of life in an attitude of gratitude. That's important. Instead of finding fault with life always, there are some people that's all they do is they find fault with life. Everything is wrong. Everything is bad. Everything around them is bad. They're just, you know, negative. I hate to use this term because Paul's got a sweet mother named Nancy, but the negative Nancys or the Debbie Downers. Are there any Debbies in the church? Where's the Debbies? Is there a Debbie in the church? There's a lot of Debbie Downers. Oh, okay. Hey, you said that, Liz. I didn't say that. In the church? Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. There's a lot. She said there's a lot of Debbie Downers in the church. We don't want to be Debbie Downers, do we? Huh? We don't want to be negative Nancys, do we? No, of course not. But there are some people like that. They're just down all the time. They're always constantly finding fault with things, with life, with circumstances and things going on. I've said this before. I'll say it one more time. We're all better off without watching the news. Because it's enough to get you negative. What's going to happen is going to happen. Amen? Or what has already happened is already happened. You can't change anything. Just a verse that comes to mind when I wrote this down, and that's Romans 8:28. You know the verse. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. So you got to love God in order for things to work together for good. To them who are the called according to His purpose. So we know that all things work together. So instead of finding fault with life and always asking why, I am willing to accept every circumstance of life in an attitude of gratitude. That's one of our challenges. Let's just be more thankful and praise God. Number six. We only got two more left. Number six. Instead of exercising and asserting my will, I learn to cooperate with His will, the will of Jesus Christ. Not my will, but thine be done. Jesus said that in Luke 22:42. I'll quote the verse. Saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Even Jesus did that with His Father. Are you and I willing to do that? Are we willing to turn our will over to the Lord's will? But instead of exercising and inserting my will into everything, let's make sure that it's His will, truly His will, for what we're doing in our life. This just makes us better followers. Jesus wants us to follow Him right. Number seven and finally, instead of choosing my own way, I'm willing to choose to follow in Christ's way, simply to do what He asks me to do. Luke 9:23. Luke 9:23. Are you willing to do what the Lord wants you to do? Bernard wants to go to Alaska. He wants to go way up into Barrow, Alaska. Let's see if I got the temperature. I have in my phone the temperature for Barrow, Alaska. Would you like to know what that is? Let me see if I can find that, if I still have it in my phone. And I'll share that with you. In Seneca Falls, it's 72. Jensen Beach, Florida, it's 85. In Barrow, Alaska, it's 37 degrees right now. Now, that's warm for them. There's a 40% chance of snow. There's going to be some snow and high winds tomorrow. And all through the week, tomorrow's going to be 37, Tuesday's going to be 37, Wednesday 37, Thursday's going to be 43. The nights are down in the 30s. I don't even know if it's daylight up there yet. Oh, yeah, the sun actually sets at 11:50 tonight. That's when the sun will set at 11:50, and it rises tomorrow at 5:13 in the morning. So there's a lot of light there, but there's also a lot of cold. So take that for what you want. Luke 9:23, Jesus said these words, and He said to them all, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me. No cross, no crown. No cross, no crown. Jesus said, if you want to follow Me, it's going to take some work on your part. You want to follow Me, you have to deny yourself first. You've got to give up everything that you want to do and just follow the Lord. You've got to take up your cross daily. Daily? How about just once a week? How about on Sundays, Lord? Can I just take up Your cross and follow You on Sunday? Once a week? One day out of seven, Lord. Ain't that bad, is it? What did Jesus say? How often does He want us to follow Him? Daily. Daily. That means Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, including Sunday. And so He wants us to follow daily. Matter of fact, He wants us to take up His cross daily. Daily. That means today and every day of the week. Every day that we're saved, He wants us to follow Him daily. Where those two crosses meet, I just wrote this in my Bible. I don't know where I got it from, but crosses, when it talks about picking up your cross daily, taking up your cross daily and following Me, a cross is where two ways meet, the upper and the vertical and the horizontal. A cross always represented a place to die, right? Christ died on a cross, the two thieves on both sides, Christ died. It's got to be chosen in order for it to glorify God and profit others. This taking up our cross daily. Are you willing to really take up a cross and follow the Lord daily? Are you willing to take up a cross? Jesus died on the cross. The thieves died on the cross. You didn't take up a cross and not die. Death is represented in a cross. Jesus said in this verse, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. It takes daily crucifixion. Paul, the apostle, every single day he made sure that he crucified his flesh. He didn't kill himself, literally, but he made sure that his flesh, the worldliness, the flesh that he had to battle with every day, he had to crucify that every day. He had to deal with himself every day, Paul the Apostle. In order for him to be something, somebody that God could use, he had to deal with himself every single day. And we have to deal with ourselves every day. We got to look at what we're doing. We got to think about what we're doing. We got to think about what we're thinking. We got to think about where we're going. We got to think about what our goals are in life. And we need to be willing to, in order for us to follow Jesus, are we willing to just kind of lay ourselves down and give up our worldly life for a spiritual life? That's what taking up the cross daily means, is being willing to just lay that worldly, earthly life down and have a spiritual life that's honoring and pleasing to God. So these are the attitudes that we need to have in our life in order for us to follow the Lord. If He's going to lead us, it says there, He restoreth my soul, He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Well, if He's leading, are we willing to follow? If He's leading, are we willing to follow? Are you willing to follow the Lord? Are you willing to follow Him wherever He says, this is where we're going, let's go. Now, the great thing about this is He's leading us. If He's our leader, what do you have to worry about? Right? He's leading. I'm following. I'm following in His footsteps. I'm staying as close as I can to my leader. And if He leads me into a situation that I don't know if I'll be able to get out, remember who you're following. When Peter got out of the boat and he was walking on the Sea of Galilee and he took his eyes off the Lord and he started to look around at the waves and the storm and he started to sink, he just cried out three words, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus reached down and grabbed him by the hand and lifted him up out of the water, put his feet back on the water, and off they went into the boat. So even if you think that you're in a situation that you don't know if you're going to come out on the other end well or not, remember who's leading you into it. He's not going to let you fall. He's not going to let you destroy yourself. He's not going to let you get into a situation that He's not going to let you get out of. The sheep that followed their shepherd, their leader, was always taken to better places, better pastures, better grazing land, better areas. The shepherd was always making sure that the sheep were protected. They may have been into some situations that may not have looked that good, but the shepherd did the best that he could to lead his sheep in an area or in a place where the sheep would be well taken care of. Our shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to lead us always in the right way. Do you think he'd ever lead you in a wrong direction? Think he'd ever lead you down a wrong alley? Do you think he's going to lead you into trouble? Of course not. He's not. He's the great shepherd. He's never going to lead you to do something that he doesn't want you to do. He's not going to. Our great shepherd, Jesus Christ, will never lead us into sin. Isn't that good to know? He'll never lead you into a sinful situation. Now, your buddy might do that. Your friend might do that. Your friend might say, hey, let's go off and do this. And that could be a sinful situation. We're constantly, you know, telling our kids, don't do this and don't go there and don't listen to them. And, you know, we're always doing that. We're always watching out for our kids, but the shepherd is watching out for us. He's not going to lead us into a situation that is going to get us into trouble. That's our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. His name's sake. He's leading me to do something for Him. He's leading you to do something for Him. For His sake, not for your sake. Not for you. You might never get an attaboy here on planet Earth, but you'll get an attaboy in heaven. You get a crown in heaven. You get a reward in heaven. Well done, thou good and faithful servant, Jesus may say. That's the only thing that's important anyway. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this passage of Scripture. Thank you, Lord, for being our leader. Thank you for being our shepherd. Lord, I pray that we as sheep would be willing to follow you and do what you want us to do. Lord, just bless and move in a great way tonight and speak to our hearts.